You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference. Right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So a few years ago, I did not know, but I came across something very interesting. And if you do not know, there is something called Singles Awareness Day. It's a day for single people to commemorate their singleness, hopefully, happily. It's quite a juxtaposition to Valentine's Day. The singleness thing is a conversation to have, particularly in light of the plurality of voices online about relationships. And let's have some fun having a real conversation about singleness. And yes, the concept also that I'm going to put in there of decentering, we have to add it in the mix because it's literally part and part of this parcel. Dr. Bella De Paolo, I'm so excited to have you. She is from Harvard University. I am bringing you the best of the best. She is an award-winning author. She wrote the book Single at Heart, The Power, Freedom and Heart-Filling Joy of Single Life. And I told you earlier on that she has a TEDx that very soon will be sitting at 2 million views, where she discussed what no one ever told you about people who are single. I'm really excited to have you. Good morning, Dr. Bella.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's exciting to have you on board. We're going to learn a lot from you this morning. And I think we should start off with a definition, the concept of singleness. I've been wondering, this singleness, this singlehood, which one is the right one?
There's no right one, whatever one you like.
Okay, so singleness, right? We need to define it because sometimes people use it to say, I am unmarried. And sometimes people use it to say, no, I am completely not in any relationship whatsoever. I'm not dating, or maybe I am dating. What exactly does it speak to?
Yeah, there are at least two different meanings. One is that you're not legally married. Mm-hmm. And that definition is really important because in a lot of places, whether you're married or not will determine whether you get all sorts of benefits and protections in the law. So that's a big one. Another way of thinking about it is the other thing you mentioned. You might be single in the sense that you're not married, you're not living with anyone, and you're not in a committed romantic relationship. Mm. And so that's what I think of as being socially single. And that's really important because how people treat you in your everyday life often matters. Yeah. And it is determined by whether you are socially single or not, whether people respect you, whether they include you in their plans, whether they feel sorry for you. Mm-hmm. So that matters.
Yeah, because it's quite a status symbol. I used to think maybe that's an African thing, but with social media, I'm seeing that no, this is a problem all over the world. There is, you know, some people don't see marriage as a milestone; they really see it as an achievement.
Right. Yeah, and I'm trying to push back on that with my work and my book, Single at Heart, because people like me who are single at heart, we live our best lives by being single. We live our most meaningful, fulfilling, and psychologically rich lives by being single. We are happy and flourishing because we are single, not in spite of it.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I think sometimes people are not single by choice. They're single by circumstance. And because of that, they are very frustrated. And I think I want us to talk about, you know, the differences between those who are single and very happy about it, as you are, and those who are single and like they loathe it, like, this cannot be my life, like, surely this is not my real life, you know? How do we find, why is there a distinction?
Yeah, well, let me take the people who loathe it first. Mm. And, you know, there are really good reasons to be unhappily single. Mm-hmm. If you are single, often other people think that means there's something wrong with you. Like, oh, you have issues. Like married and coupled people don't have issues. Or they demote you in their lives. You know, they hang out with their coupled friends and either ignore you or demote you to, you know, breakfast or lunch instead of dinner on the weekends. And there's so many other ways that you're stereotyped, stigmatized, and discriminated against if you're single. So you might be asked in the workplace to cover for the married people or to come in the holidays. There are issues in the marketplace, the housing market, medical care. Just about every domain of life is built around romantic couples and traditional families. So, of course, it can be frustrating to be single.
I know that experience. And in the workplace in particular, maybe what tips would you give to like single people to have to set boundaries? You know, the example that you gave is very true, where people will use your singleness to try and take advantage of you or to try and make you feel bad and remind you, like, you've got nothing just because you're single. Like, make that make sense.
And that's another thing I'm trying to do with my book. It's like, no, don't do that. Mm-mm. And, you know, it shouldn't be on the individual single person to have to make these kinds of points because it's uncomfortable. And so with Single at Heart and my other writings, I want it to be out there so that employers and your fellow workers already understand that it's really not cool to expect your single workers to pick up the slack and to treat them as though they don't have a life.
Because they don't have a lot on their plates.
Right. You're doing right.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we all make choices, right? Like how my lot on my plates can be my choice. Maybe sometimes it's not my choice, but sometimes it is my choice. The lot on your plates is also your choice. You know, it's like you choose your struggle, and then you have to kind of like live with it. You made your bed and lie in it, kind of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes single people, and there's research showing that they disproportionately do this, they are helping other people. So when parents grow older and need help, it's their single grown children who are most likely to be there for them. And so that's important, too. And single people also have their interests and their passions. You know, they may be doing things that are really important to them and maybe important to, you know, their countries, their fellow humans. It's not like, you know, we're all just sitting home watching TV. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I like that perspective. If you would like to also weigh in on the conversation, write your comment either on Facebook or YouTube on the comments section. Alternatively, we do have a WhatsApp number that you may use to ask a question or contribute to the conversation or the comment. And that WhatsApp number is +27734703520. Dr. Bella DiPaolo is an award-winning author. She is a TEDx talker. She is from Harvard University. Listen, levels. Okay, so we are speaking to the absolute best of the best this morning. Dr. Bella, I'm going to go into a conversation that is really big and serious. You see it particularly being discussed on social media, but I think it's beyond the social media space. And that concept, the word is called decentering. And then they've added a very particular pronoun. Who are we decentering? They said we are decentering men. That's what the lady said. They said we are decentering men. It sounds like an encouragement to the ladies to not even date or court men at all. Yeah, I don't know. Is there a healthy way to consider this concept? Maybe I misunderstand it.
Well, there are several different ways to think about it. So if you are single at heart, you love your single life, you're flourishing in your single life, and you don't want to be out there dating or courting men or women, that's fine. In fact, that is healthy. Okay. What is unhealthy is trying to be a person that other people think you should be, that you feel like you should be rather than who you really are. Authenticity is what's healthy. Now, another version of that is where you decenter men or women or whoever
you need to decenter
prefer as your romantic partner. And that doesn't mean they're not in your life at all. It doesn't mean necessarily that you don't date or have fun with them. But it does mean that they are not at the center of your life. You're not organizing your life around them. So if you have something that you've already planned to do with friends, you don't ditch those friends if your partner says, oh, let's do this tonight. Mm-hmm. Or you don't decide that you're not going to pursue your interests and your passions that have motivated you for so long because your partner doesn't like those things, or because your partner thinks that that time that you used to spend on what excites you belongs to them.
That's the real meaning of that concept. Basically, understanding that you also should prioritize the things that are important to you and the people who are important to you, because it's very true what you're saying. And I love the examples you gave, that when you are in a relationship, it's very easy to always put your friends at the back burner. You know, they come last.
Right.
Yeah, they come last all the time because, oh, base it. And then when there's no bae anymore, then you remember that, oh, yeah, hey, Jess, it's been a long time. Let's hang out. It's like, girl, you do this all the time. You always do this. When you're in a relationship, you are like, you're gone. You are a gone girl. When the relationship is over, now you remember that, oh, I do have some lady friends, hey.
Yeah, and that's really rude.
Is rude. It's unfair, actually.
Yes.
It's using people. It's using people.
Yes.
Oh, girl. Yeah, no. No. And I think what I'm also hearing you say is it goes both ways. Men can also be like that, where they stop prioritizing the things that are important to them. And I don't think we are saying you must not know and learn how to have appropriate, healthy compromises in the relationship. How do you then learn how to balance that? You know, I want to decenter, but at the same time, I want to make sure that my relationship doesn't fall apart just because, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you need a partner who is as mature as you are, because if you have a partner who's totally into this, you are my everything, I want you to be my everything, I want to be your everything, then they're going to have a hard time with it. So it does mean that you are in a more limited range of possibilities. But as we talk about this more, you know, I think it will become more validated, more accepted, and then your possibilities will expand.
You think so? Okay, I can't wait to hear how the possibilities expand. I think that's something we definitely have to touch on. We have to touch on how do those possibilities expand so that you don't find yourself making a mistake and being with someone whose values don't align with yours, you know?
Yeah.
What tips have you found along the way?
Yeah. And that's one of the most important things to keep in mind when you're single, is that it's so important to have your, you know, your integrity and your standards. So even if, let's say you're someone who really does not want to be single, but you still don't, you know, lunge at the first person who dangles a rose in front of you. That's good, because you know, you have your integrity, and that will serve you well for the rest of your life, whether you're single or married or anywhere in between. And what I'm talking about in terms of having more possibilities out there is to get the ideas out there, like you are doing now with your show, that that you can have a romantic relationship and not lose yourself in it and not want to deprioritize the other people in your life, what you care about, what makes your life enriching and fulfilling.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the barriers to that is the romantic notion that, you know, once you find someone, then it's all about that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, while you're in that mode, when your relationship is going well, you know, that might feel true.
Yeah.
But then if it falls apart, you know, you had this person who was your everything. Now you've got no one, right? No one and nothing. But I think it's healthy for us as individuals and for the society, mm-hmm. for us not to take one person and say, this is my world.
Yeah.
And it's not even fair to that person. I mean, they can't be everything.
There's a lot of pressure. I agree with that. That is a lot of pressure. So, but would you say, I don't know if you also enjoy social media like I do, but would you say that being single is a flex these days? I don't know.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
So I'm 72, and for as long as I can remember, single people have been stereotyped, stigmatized, ostracized, and discriminated against. And, you know, and we've been shamed for being single. And now more and more people are saying, oh, no, you don't. I love being single. This is what I want. I have my freedom. I have my sweet, sweet solitude. I can spend as much time as I want with as many different people as I want without some partner thinking that time belongs to them. And so I'm done apologizing. I'm done feeling like I'm lesser than because I'm single. I am proud of things.
Love it. I don't know if it's okay for you to maybe share a little bit more about that book that you wrote. Is it from personal experience?
Yeah,
what happened? What motivated that? And then when did you get to a point where you were comfortable with being single? Because if you just gave us your age, right? So if you are 72, you grew up at a time when there was pressure to marry. Yes, exactly. So how did you overcome that?
Well, you know, I didn't know there was such a thing as wanting to be single. Mm. So I never wanted to be married. But for the longest time, I thought, well, maybe I'm just slow. Like maybe getting married is like getting bitten by a bug, and I hadn't gotten bitten yet. So I kept waiting to get bitten. And after a while, I realized, no, this is never happening. Single is who you really are.
Do you remember how old you were, Dr. Bella, when you got to that realization?
You know, there was no one aha moment, but I can tell you the day I started taking notes on these new ideas about being single, and it was December of 1992. So I think that made me 39 years old.
And then you got to the point where you were like, okay, I accept. It was at first a circumstance, but you know, like when you get lemons and you make lemonade and you're like, you know what?
Yeah, except it never felt, my single life never felt like lemons to me, except for the ways we talked about that other people pity you and give you last choice in work and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But my life itself, I loved my freedom and my solitude and my friends and getting to live in the place that I wanted to and arrange it the way I liked it and follow my career. And also, I moved from one coast of the United States to the other, 3,000 miles away, and totally rebuilt my life and my friendships because I loved it out here in California so much. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the joys of being single. And what was great about letting go of that, maybe I'll get bitten by a bug thing, is that then I could really embrace my single life and not think, oh, maybe I shouldn't buy a house yet because what if I meet someone?
Yes, absolutely. Those big decisions. You speak about something so poignant. Are there any regrets? Maybe you don't have regrets, but I think that a lot of people do get different types of regrets. You know, at some point, maybe the regret of, oh, I wish I had children, but I don't have children. Or, you know, have you ever suffered with those kinds of real life issues?
About being single? Absolutely not. Yeah. Not one single day. Yes. And, you know, regret is something that people pin on single people and people who don't have kids. But think of, you know, the divorce rate in the United States is about 42%.
It's just as high. That's, here.
Yeah.
It's just as high, yeah.
Yeah. So how can you not talk about regret in the context of marriage?
It's a tough one. I think it's the socialization. You know,
yeah.
And I think, you know, it goes back to when you spoke about authenticity, living for family, living for when your parents say, I want to be a I want to be a grandmom. And then they put these ideas in your mind. Yeah. And then you want to achieve those things. Sometimes we're not aware in the moment that maybe we're doing those, making choices for other people and not necessarily for ourselves. But it is very important. I love the work that you're doing. Destigmatize singleness, you know, for people, especially in a conservative space, because this is a Christian radio station, right?
Yes.
That we're talking about it actually yesterday, that even when you listen to church programs, family programs are always around marriage and those who are married. Yeah. Single people can even be a threat to relationships.
And I actually think there's been a resurgence of pro-marriage, you know, books and articles and essays. And I think that is happening, not because we're so secure about the place of marriage in our lives these days, but because we are so insecure.
Ooh.
You know, if we didn't feel threatened by the rise in the number of single people, no one would be writing books saying, get married and save civilization. You wouldn't have to defend something that you don't feel is under attack.
Sure. That is really, that is insane. I think a lot of people would want to go and check. I know I would want to go and check out your book, Single at Heart. Where can we get a hold of it? We are all the way in the south of Africa. So how do we get a hold of your book?
I think you can still get it online and your favorite bookstores and libraries. And if you go into one of those places and you don't find it, tell them to order it because people want to read it.
Yeah, and it's based on real lived experiences. But also I love the fact that you are a psychologist, which is amazing. Yeah. So there's a lot of healing that we will find from the book itself, which is titled Single at Heart, The Power, Freedom and Heart Filling Joy of Single Life. Dr. Bella DePaolo, you have been excellent. What an honor it is to really talk to you. It's so late at night. It's probably early in the morning right now. So thank you so, so much for honoring us this morning.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, and we wish you very well. And we hope to keep in touch with you in the future as well. And have a good evening.
Bye.
All right. There we leave it with Dr. Bella DePaolo. She comes to us all the way from the United States of America. And yes, she is an award-winning author, as you can see, and a socio-psychologist from Harvard University, which is where she actually did her PhD. Wow. Were you blessed by that? What do you think about singleness? A different perspective instead of feeling all sad about it. Make the most of the time while you can.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.